Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 461 of the Fitness, Food, and Freedom Podcast. I'm Jordan Stoltz, your host. And today we're going to be talking about three big diet hacks for easier fat loss. This is going to be a cool episode. These are things that I've implemented in my own program and experience with clients and everything to make dieting a little bit easier. I know dieting can really become a difficult thing, really stressful, and very hard to stick to after a certain amount of time. There's some things I will talk about today that will definitely help you in your journey to being leaner, less body fat, and looking and feeling your best. So we're going to be talking about three hacks that I found that make fat loss easier. I'll update you guys on my own journey and program and everything a little bit, and we'll kind of get started with that. This is episode 461 of the show, so thank you all for joining me today. I did, you know, want to mention, I know a lot of you probably listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but I do want to shout out YouTube. Started from, you know, a straight goose egg zero. My normal YouTube channel kind of morphed into more of like a farm channel because that was the type of videos I was putting out. Put that one just to be called, you know, Stoltz Farm. That's essentially that YouTube channel, making that one its own entity. And, you know, that one's, you know, around 1,000 subscribers or so. I started from zero on the Stoltz Fit YouTube channel because I wanted to keep that also separate, like not mix the two types of content necessarily. If you're listening to this show, you probably don't want the farm content. If you do, you can go to the Stoltz Farm channel. But there are video podcasts being put on that channel. It's started from zero up to like 30, 35 subscribers. So it's growing real slow, but really have only put shorts and podcasts on there so far. Going to be starting with some more videos, and actually got a lav mic that came in the mail yesterday. So pretty excited about that to get some better sound quality, especially doing things like vlogs where I'm outside. It's really windy here in North Dakota. So to be able to cut that down and do actual, you know, content about like day in the life, full day of eating, training, you'll see it all kind of behind the scenes, more than just the topic episodes, which will kind of be more related to the podcast. I'll do a little bit of everything, but I did want to mention that because I think that is going to be a good, also another resource for you. If you listen to the show, go subscribe to Stoltz Fit on YouTube as well, and you'll get video podcasts and then also good content as far as behind the scenes and training and nutrition advice I don't talk about on the show as much. Kind of more in the weeds stuff, I guess. I try to keep the show basic, actionable, you know, easy to digest things, especially for beginners. The YouTube might go a little bit deeper into like why I'm doing what I'm doing and more about my, you know, inner thoughts on fitness and everything. So that is, you know, with the microphone I'm bought in, right? And that's kind of related to fitness in a way. If you guys, I'm sure, are aware, if you buy some kind of equipment or a workout program or even clothes can serve this purpose, you really become more committed just by putting some kind of money into it and having that skin in the game. So I guess that's, in a way, a pre-hack to my three diet hacks is, you know, buy something, you know, supplement or a protein powder or a piece of clothing that, you know, you want to fit into or something. Put some money into it. Buy a coach workout program, and that will kind of get you going, get that momentum going, which I talk about a lot. I'm also cutting, so I am kind of in a fat loss phase right now. It's not going to be a long one. I don't have too much body fat to really lose, just kind of like lowering the calories a little bit from the big summer bulk that I had. I dropped 1,000 calories per day, but I was already up to 4,500 calories, so it's really not like too miserable of a cut necessarily. Things kind of plateaued. I had a good couple weeks, and then week three, things really like stuck at like 207, 206. And then all of a sudden, after 4, 5, 6 days of weighing in at that in a row, the weight just kind of whooshed off. And then all of a sudden, it's like 204, 205 every single weigh-in that I do. That's something to really keep in mind to not lose sight of what you're doing. Trust the science of weight loss, like I talked about last week, and, you know, do the little actions right every single day. And sometimes weight loss will just come all of a sudden. It's not going to be linear where you're losing, you know, if you're trying to lose 0.7 pounds a week, it's not going to be 0.1 for 7 days. It's going to be more like gain 0.1, lose 0.1, lose a whole pound, gain a half pound. It's going to be up and down all week. And then, you know, on average, hopefully you're losing about what you want to. But sometimes that comes in a big whoosh. The twins' sleep is still okay. That's something I've been updating you guys on because that's a big factor in how I approach, you know, fitness goals is like, how much energy do I have? What kind of recovery am I getting? They're sleeping like pretty much longer. I remember I cursed it before and they started waking up early again. I think that was a growth spurt. Now it's till 5 or 6 a.m. usually. But now, you know, we're kind of needing to move them into cribs and into their own room, which might prove to be its own difficulty. But we will see. I'll keep updated on that. But recovery is not an issue right now. And sleep isn't too much of an issue as much as you could expect with twins and a toddler in the house. The weather is changing, though, right? I work remotely for a company out of Texas, but I live in North Dakota. So we do have cold winters and the weather's starting to change. It has been 70, 80 degrees every day, which is pretty nice for September, honestly, and having a beautiful fall. We're going to be dropping to more like 60s with a high of 70, though, coming up here. And those fall changes, you know, I'm sure a lot of the country's going through that right now and in the next month or two. And when you start seeing those drops in temperature, kind of can change your fitness goals. It can affect things a little bit. On one side of things, you have hoodie weather, right? You can wear baggier clothes. You don't have to be wearing shorts. You don't have to be wearing tank tops. You can, you know, you're not at the pool. You're not at the beach. You can probably stand to start focusing more on muscle gain. That's how most people approach it. I'm kind of weird because I actually do things the opposite way of that, where I kind of prefer to do the fat loss phases in the winter because there's just not as much going on in terms of like social events, going out to eat, like all that kind of stuff is just reduced a little bit. So it's, you know, it's a better time in my life for me just to kind of lower calories, buckle down and do a couple months of that. So you can kind of go, you know, with your phases of life, I guess, but the weather does affect it. And, you know, holiday food's coming up. So I would definitely not try to be in fat loss from Thanksgiving to Christmas. If you're going to diet, you got to do it now and then take a break in the holidays. That's how I would definitely approach it if you're my client. Anyways, enough of that. We're kind of just babbling, but let's get into the fitness quote of the day, which is commitment means staying loyal to what you said you're going to do after the mood you set it in has left you. This one hit. I put this one as a short on the YouTube channel, actually, because man, this one hit. I talk about this in not so eloquent of a way, but it's, you know, committing to something means that you are going to do what you said you're going to do. You're committed to it even after you're not motivated anymore, is essentially what that means. After the mood you set it in has left you is a beautiful way to say that. This can apply to anything, sticking to your budget, being a good spouse, being a good parent, doing well in your job, you know, focusing on something like you just want to do consistent, like working out, flossing, you know, starting a YouTube channel, whatever it is, fill in the blanks, whatever you want to accomplish. Maybe those are the things that I'm talking about. Maybe I need to floss more. I don't know. That just kind of came out. But you need to stay true to what you said you're going to do when you plan to do it, which is why I talk about it all the time. Make goals as if you weren't motivated, even if you are. If you're feeling like, I really want to lose weight right now, you might feel like your goal is going to be, you know, lose all this weight, work out 7 days a week, do the cardio, hit 10,000 steps, eat only, you know, protein and vegetables. Like you just want to do this stuff to accomplish your goal because you're super motivated. But then all of a sudden it's a rainy day on a Sunday and you just kind of want to lay around and eat chips and you don't really want to work out and go to the gym and drive in the rain. Those days will come, right? So you need to make goals as if you were having that day right now. Make things you will stick to, you know you'll stick to, and then it's much easier to commit and stay loyal to the things you're going to do. But if you make the commitment, you must stay loyal to that commitment. That is a big, big thing in my eyes to people that are successful in fitness and otherwise. So that's it for the intro. Let's get started with today's episode. I'll talk now about the 3 diet hacks for easier fat loss, episode 461. All right, so we are going to talk about 3 diet hacks for easier fat loss. These are things that you can implement in your nutrition today if you're trying to essentially eat fewer calories, right? These are hacks to make it easier to eat fewer calories because we know the science of weight loss, right? You can move more, you can eat less, and you know, hopefully you're doing the move more part. I've sure talked about that a lot over the last 6 weeks or so on the show. That's huge. The eating less part can be a little bit trickier, especially as the diet picks up. So as you're, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks into it, or even a few months into it, hunger can become a real issue and adherence can become a real issue. And when adherence becomes an issue, that's when people typically fall off track. So it's super important to figure out ways that are kind of like hacks and easy things to get yourself to eat more naturally, where you don't really feel like you are pushing and cutting yourself off, right? Like I would have a really hard time eating 600 calories of fettuccine Alfredo or something. Like that would be super hard for me. And I'll get into, I mean, that's almost a reason, right? And that's almost one of the hacks right now is to avoid foods like that. But a food just like that, where it's super high calorie, easy to eat a lot of, it's really hard to stick to a calorie controlled diet in that type of situation. So it's important to have little hacks and tricks that you can do to naturally make yourself eat less without having to put limits on yourself like that. We'll start with number one, which is my favorite one out of the three. Honestly, I'm giving you the banger to start, and it's called meal stoppers. Now, this is kind of a weird one, but this is something I am going to take credit of inventing, at least the term meal stoppers. But essentially, you are going to eat or drink something post-meal, which is going to serve as a hard cutoff of the meal. If you're anything like me, your appetite's high sometimes, especially at night, and you know you kind of want to go for some seconds, some thirds, snitch a little bit more out of the bowl, have a little dessert, eat a little snack after you already eat your meal. Like the eating just kind of goes on, and you don't really have like a hard start and end time for a meal, right? I think of my toddler. You're able to like put the plate in front of him and then take the plate away when it's done, you know, when mealtime's done, and that's it. You can, you know, you're not really having just snacks laying around all the time. Can't really just go back and get more food out of the bowl when you feel like you might be a little hungry and you're watching TV. It's not like that, right? So meal stoppers can really be a useful tool for controlling your calories at meals. Like maybe it is fettuccine Alfredo or something delicious. You have your bowl. I would eat my bowl of fettuccine Alfredo, and then I would implement a meal stopper right at the end of that, which would make me not want to eat more and kind of put a hard end to it. So what does that look like? There are a few things that meal stoppers can be. It can be a beverage, a zero or low calorie food, or even something that's an action like stretching, walking, or brushing your teeth. Brushing your teeth is kind of a hybrid because you get the minty taste in your mouth. You go brush your teeth and then you're probably not going to eat more because you just brush your teeth, right? That's like the OG, I think, meal hack is to like the meal stopper hack is to eat your food you're going to eat, go brush your teeth, and then it's kind of like you have this fresh breath. You're not going to want to go eat another bowl of garlicky pasta, right? Some of the things that I actually use more though, I don't really use brushing my teeth like that because sometimes you're out and about. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to brush your teeth after lunch, like that kind of thing. So I will implement like very low calorie foods or beverages. I mentioned this last time, I think, but I got an espresso machine for my birthday a couple weeks ago, and that has been really my favorite thing. So one shot of espresso is only like 60 milligrams of caffeine or something. So I would eat my meal, one shot of espresso, just like an Italian or something would do. And I would, you know, have that espresso taste in my mouth. It would kind of, in a way, end the meal mentally for me and get a different taste in my mouth other than that good taste of the food and wanting more of that. So it cleanses your palate in a way, gets you to kind of, you know, focus on something else or just sipping that hot beverage. You could do tea. You could do a diet soda, although the sweet taste of a diet soda may make you actually want some food after. I find that to be the case sometimes, but you could try a zero calorie drink like that. Tea, coffee, espresso, all good options. Brushing your teeth is a great option. Zero calorie foods are good too. Like a bowl of carrot sticks would be like a good thing. Sugar-free popsicle could be a good idea. You know, something that's like cold icy sweet. You kind of like cap off the meal with something, but it's pretty much low or no calorie. So those are meal stoppers. And if you haven't tried them, it sounds weird. Like, how could this work? Give it a try. If you do find yourself hungry, just always plan on having a stopper after each meal. Like breakfast, maybe you have breakfast, have a cup of coffee. Lunch, you have a bowl of carrots after your lunch, your planned lunch. Dinner, maybe you brush your teeth or you have, you know, a tea or something after your meal. And it can be different, but give those a try. Find one that works for you and you will definitely avoid overeating in your meals. Number two, and this one is unfortunately helpful because it is less variety and flavor, right? And this is, you don't have to go completely bland, plain egg whites with a raw potato or something crazy, but try to eat fewer foods in each meal and flavor those foods a little bit less if you are hungry. So as an example, if I had 1,000 calories to eat for my dinner, eating potatoes and ground beef, 1,000 calories of potatoes and ground beef is a lot of food. It's a lot of volume. It's a lot of the same foods I'd get tired of. I could eat 1,000 calories of that and be really full. I could eat 1,000 calories of potatoes, some beef, maybe a dinner roll, some fruit, a dessert, and a drink that has calories. I could hit 1,000 calories and with all that variety, not even be that full. I could be a lot more hungry afterwards and want more of a few of those different things because of all the variety in that meal. More variety makes it easier to eat more, right? If you've ever been to like a potluck or a picnic dinner or a barbecue, it's really easy to rack up 3,000-4,000 calories in that meal. You might not even know you are, but you are because you're having, you know, a burger and then maybe having this casserole and then this salad and that salad and this salad and this drink and this dessert. You're having all these different things, kind of a sampler situation. And it's, you know, getting you a lot of variety, which is going to kind of keep your mouth guessing and you're going to eat more calories. More flavor makes consuming more calories more enjoyable too, right? If you think about, I guess we'll use ground beef as an example. If you're eating ground beef, which who eats ground beef plain, but if you are just eating ground beef, putting some like taco seasoning on that beef, say you're having beef and rice, taco seasoning on that and eating that is going to be a lot more enjoyable and easier to eat more calories of than unseasoned or just a little salt on your ground beef with the rice, right? I'm not saying you can't use seasonings. I think seasonings are great, obviously, but if you are hungry and struggling with overeating, less variety in your meals and a little bit more bland food is going to help you eat a little bit less. Like, try to come up with an example here for you. And it's going to be, I'll use breakfast as an example. So you see in the cereal commercials with all the different breakfast options, right? You have the glass of orange juice, the glass of milk, the bowl of cereal, 3 pieces of toast with jam, all these different things, right? Like, how about you try less variety? So all you have is the bowl of cereal and the toast. And you, because you want a little bit less flavor to make it just a little bit less enjoyable, but not super brutal, maybe you do toast with a little bit of butter spray instead of jam. So you're reducing calories and making it less sweet, which is going to make it, you know, a little bit less easy to overeat. The cereal, maybe you simply choose, you know, you already reduce the variety of foods in that meal by reducing the juice and the glass of milk and stuff. In the cereal, maybe you just go for more bland cereal, like corn flakes instead of frosted flakes, as an example. Or maybe like instead of Lucky Charms, you're doing plain Cheerios. Like something like that is how you'd approach this. It doesn't have to be like disordered in the way where you can't eat seasonings or good food or participate in situations. But a majority of the time, try to keep your foods relatively bland, like not too much sauces and flavor to where you just want to overeat like crazy. And then 2 to 3 foods max per meal. That is going to be a hack. It's not a hard rule to see success in fat loss, but it is a hack for making dieting much easier. If your meal only contains 2 or 3 things, you can eat all your calories from those 2 or 3 things, be pretty sick of those things, and probably not overeat. So number three, is more obvious and more talked about, which is zero calorie beverages. I am of the camp that these can be totally unlimited in fat loss diets. Do I limit them in other times? Not really purposefully, actually. It just kind of naturally happens where if I'm eating more calories, I don't really want a bunch of diet soda or a bunch of coffee or tea or something like that. But just that flavor hit with no calories is like the ultimate hack for sticking to your diet. It keeps your mouth busy, I guess, you know, to be able to sip and drink instead of just eating. It can serve as a meal stopper. It can serve as like a snack between meals that has no calories but some flavor. Zero calorie beverages are like the ultimate food processing or drink technology hack that was ever invented for dieters, I think. It's amazing. The science, the studies do not show any safety concerns with artificial sweeteners like sucralose, aspartame, and whatever else is used as a sweetener in things like sparkling waters and diet sodas. In short, you don't have to worry about safety. You can look into the research yourself if you'd like. Everything that I've seen that could possibly be a concern about diet sodas and sweeteners are done on lab rats or mice in very, very super high dosages, which would be dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of drinks per day to get that small effect negatively in your body. We're not doing that, right? It's going to be more like a couple, two, three, four diet sodas in a day isn't going to harm you, according to the research right now. And you can look into that yourself. Disagree with me if you want. But I recommend looking into the actual research and how those studies are done. It's a huge hack for dieting. And the great part is dieting's temporary. So even if you are a little bit concerned, it's not going to cause long-term harm, especially if you're just ending the diet and then reducing those anyways. The only thing I would mention is to watch your caffeine intake, because sleep is really important for recovery, for training, and you know, success in your diet as well for body fat loss. So if you're drinking too much caffeine all day, you are going to have negative sleep effects. So you might want to go for caffeine-free, like decaf coffee, decaf tea, decaf diet sodas, those kind of things. Just watch the caffeine intake, especially if you're drinking anything like that at night, and implementing those meal stoppers too. You wouldn't want to have espressos at night as a meal stopper and then that affect your sleep. It's not worth that. So watch the caffeine. Otherwise, go for it. Use them. They're unlimited. They're a great hack, and they do help you stay on track, even if they get a lot of hate. Like I said, the good thing about dieting is it really requires just temporary discipline. I'm not saying you can't enjoy food, you can't have big variety meals, lots of, you know, lots of flavor and good things like that. If you have this goal, though, this commitment, you need to stay loyal to that through the end, right? Push through, have that temporary discipline, and dial things in for a little bit, and then get to your goal and transition to a more flexible approach. You don't always have to eat in the way that you're dieting, but while you're dieting, I'm way more of a fan of just like dialing things in super strict, getting to your goal, and then slowly implementing more flexibility to maintain that, rather than trying to be super flexible and open to anything during your diet, but then your diet ends up lasting 6 months to a year when it could have been done in 2 months. Right? We don't want to do that. We want to get out of that diet as soon as possible, back to normal life, and back to more flexibility where we can optimize training, recovery, and social events and stuff. So that's really how I approach things. There you go. Three diet hacks today that can help you with fat loss. Again, if you aren't subscribed to the YouTube channel, go check out Stoltz Fit on YouTube and Stoltz Farm if you want to see the farm videos. But Stoltz Fit is where you'll see more stuff related to the podcast. So thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.